And welcome to another episode of Common Ground. That's right. We're here again. Another week, another show. We have a great show. Sherry Salas is with me here today. And of course, she brings her unique perspective on everything. And I'm so glad you're here today, Sherry.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. And last week we had a really good show. And Paige Dixon is with us today. We're going to talk to her in a second. But last week, Paige, we had HD 66, the Democratic primary candidates, with Sharon Hirsch and Amy Lopez Garza. Or is it Amy Garza Lopez?
Garza Lopez.
Thank you.
And before that, we had HD 67.
That's right. So the Dems have been on the show a lot. In fact, originally, so you know, when we first started broadcasting, people thought we were a Republican show. That's all we cared about. And now we've had so many Democrats on the
now
show.
Everybody
now
thinks
they think we're a Democrat show. We're like, no, we're just trying to get our audience to know who all the candidates are.
I always tell people we are trying to get as many as possible on the show. There is no team blockage. Like, bring it. We want everybody.
And HD 65 is really unique. Because today we have you, and we asked your opponent, who's the existing legislator, Michelle Beckley, to come on the show. We reached out to her campaign manager, Lindsey Fagan, and Michelle Beckley numerous times
to get her
on the show. I mean, she's a sitting legislator, and that kind of is crazy for me, because if you're representing me, I'm not an HD 65, but if I was and I found out that my legislator wouldn't come on the show, I'd be like, what are you hiding? That's what I would say.
Here's the thing for me. I get it. Sometimes there's strategy, which is always kind of, I guess, to consider. But return a phone call or an email.
At least tell us why you're busy and you can't make it.
Make something up.
Paige Dixon, who's running against Michelle Beckley in the primary, I mean, she responded right away. Said, of course I'll come on the show. I want people to know what I stand for. I want them all about. And thank you, Paige, for coming out. This is actually the first show we're airing that won't have an opponent on the show. We're going to have the same thing next week with HT 65 with the Republican primary. Only one candidate's coming on. So you're in a weird district there. But
it is very odd, because even the Republican for next week, the one that didn't come, is endorsed a great deal.
Right. So the favorite is not coming on the show. So what, you know, are you afraid you're going to slip up and say something? I mean, our show is not one of these conflict type of shows. We just, like I said before we broadcast, you know, we're just sitting around like a coffee table and just going to ask you questions that, you know, the audience wants to hear. So kind of confusing, because we did have some other really good candidate forums with Frisco City Council, which has, you know, four people running for one seat. And we had Jared Patterson. If you know, Jared Patterson was here with his opponent, James Trombley.
Wait, we should probably let her introduce herself.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it. Yeah, we're ready.
Because we've been going into the show.
Right. So I'd like to thank Paige Dixon for coming in. And Paige is running again for HD 65 Democrat primary. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Paige?
So my name is Paige Dixon. I am a mom of two amazing boys. I am a combat veteran. I served in the United States Army for 15 years.
Oh, thank you for your service.
She toured, too. Thank you.
It was an honor to serve. I was former membership lead for Moms Demand Action of Denton County. I'm a current PTA president within my district, because I'm a little crazy. And I deliver Meals on Wheels in my spare time. And I was a former ethics chair for the Denton County Democratic Party.
Wow. And why are you running?
I'm running because that's a layered question. Well, one, I want people to have good representation. I don't think that we have that currently. I know within Denton County, we really struggled to get quality candidates to show up and run. So we were really just kind of running anyone that showed up. And that kind of, to me, was a disservice to the people in the space. And when I was speaking to people last election cycle, a lot of people were saying that they weren't motivated to vote because nothing about their lives ever changed once they elected someone and sent them to Austin or elected someone and sent them to Washington. And I think that as far as our party is concerned, there's this effort to win, and we're leaving the people behind. So the people in my district need someone to represent them.
Are you finding that as you go door to door that they're like, yeah, it's about time someone came to our house?
People are amazed and that I'm a real candidate, and they're very responsive to our message, because we weren't really sure when we kicked off the campaign I was like, I think people really want to be served. People really want someone in the space that wants to work for them and be their voice. And so we've been knocking on doors and talking to people within the district, and they are very responsive to that message. People are tired of the fighting, because that when people are fighting, that means that there's no progress. We don't get things done. So they really want someone that goes, when they go to Austin, they don't forget them.
And that's the, I think that's good for anybody. And of course, I'm sure if you get elected that you're going to continue to be responsive to the constituents. I mean, you seem like that type of person.
I love to serve. I love to serve. Like I love delivering Meals on Wheels in my district. I love talking to people. I love trying to see how I can be helpful and be involved. And I think that that's a piece that we're missing in politics. We're missing real leadership. We're missing people that show up that actually care about people and put them first.
So say you win the primary and then you go on to win in the general election, and you're sitting there in Austin and you're Legislator Dixon, and they say, hey, you know what, Legislator, what is that hot topic that you want to really change or do in Austin?
The when one
you
get priority. There?
What is that one thing that you really want to focus on?
Or should we say three?
Should we say three?
Can I get three?
No, yeah, we'll give you, give us your first one.
Look,
first.
You go ahead, girl. Yeah, you came.
It's your floor.
You showed up.
Because people usually give me the one, but I'm like, can I get the three? So
give us
three.
Your three.
Look at her already advocating.
Yeah. There you go.
My three is education, healthcare, and working families, making sure that people who are working are getting paid living wages. Those are the three things that I would really want to advocate for. I feel like if we could have well-funded, quality education, it would solve so many problems that we have as a society. So that's a great start. So if I could only have one, it would be education. But if I could have three, I'd take all those three.
All right, so let's talk about education. So what would you introduce to make education, I guess, better in your perspective?
There's a lot of things.
Give me one or two.
Okay, so one, I'd like for our educators to be paid what they're worth. Currently, just talking to educators, they're having to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet. They're struggling with their own health care. I've talked to educators who say they're having to pay thousands of dollars in deductibles before they can even purchase, they can even get assistance with their insurance to purchase medication for their own children. We know that our educators aren't really being allowed to retire with dignity because we're seeing that the cost of living is not increasing as the years go by. So we're struggling in that respect. Just being a PTA president, I know that there are huge funding gaps within our school. So I've worked, when I got my PTA, I had like $100. We worked to raise thousands of dollars to kind of bridge gaps in funding as far as purchasing library books, helping to pay for buses to send the kids on field trips. We cut almost a $2,000 check to help offset the cost to send our kids to Austin. So things like that, we need to see.
So priority for the teaching. And so HB3 did touch upon that, so you would take it a little further?
I would. I think that it was something as opposed to nothing, and I'd definitely like to expound on it and make it better. You know, we've heard a lot of complaints, like for instance within LISD, we saw SB3 give us all day pre-K for 4-year-olds. Well, that didn't really happen in LISD because we didn't have the money. So when I talk to local leadership, one of the things that they want the representatives to know is whenever you go down to Austin and you create legislation, please know that there's going to be a monetary impact back home. So for LISD, we didn't have the space for all day pre-K for 4-year-olds. We're having to find that. We're having to actually sign a waiver saying that we won't be able to take 3-year-olds into our pre-K program because we don't have the money. We have 58 pre-K educators, and now we need twice as many, and we don't have the money to pay them. So it was not very beneficial for our district. So just kind of going down there.
Did your opponent say anything
about
that?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious if you're aware of any portion of her role or position in
did she
some
do
of
anything
what happened
to fight
with HB3?
For the district, considering what was going on?
So my opponent did not sign on to HB3, and just kind of at the last minute when it was inevitable that it was going to pass, voted for it, but is claiming that she has reformed public education on her flyers.
But I'm saying she obviously didn't look, and I'm not speaking for her, but she didn't look into these concerns that you have, that you didn't have the facilities to provide for a mandated program, right?
This seems to have been something that was a little bit of an afterthought after it hit our district, kind of coming up with excuses as to why But really, you have, when you go down there, you've got to fight for these things. You have to intimately know how this is going to affect your district and be out there for us fighting for it.
Very good. And then you mentioned healthcare. So what would you do as far as the healthcare situation?
So I'm talking to people right now who are, I had a neighbor who had walking pneumonia and did not go to see a doctor because he couldn't afford it. His job requires that he works 12 months before he can get health care, and he literally almost died. Wow. So he was like, I couldn't afford to take the days off work, and also I didn't have any health care, so I couldn't pay the bill. I've talked to a 76-year-old woman in my district who is still working. Her husband is disabled, and she's not working because she wants to, but she's like, if I stop, we can't live. I can't buy prescriptions. So I want to see things like price caps on prescriptions. I don't think that medication that is needed for people to have a better quality of life or to live should be price gouged. So I want to kind of see the medical field stop being a space of profit.
So that would be state regulated? Is that what you would do?
Yes. That's what I was, so. Yeah.
Okay. And expand Medicare so that people can have affordable access to healthcare. And when we're sick, we don't have to worry about, wait, I can't afford to be sick. You know, a lot of times we're seeing people come into emergency room situations where if they had gotten proper care before, they wouldn't be in the situations that they're in. So just wanted to see that expand so that people can have the healthcare that they need.
And has your opponent touched upon healthcare at all?
She has. You know, I think that there is having speaking points and talking about things, but then actually putting in the work to create change. And I think for a lot of this may look like garnering relationships across the aisle to kind of make things happen.
Okay.
So also, since we're on the topic of healthcare, sure. In doing my homework, I don't know, because it's not flat out stated, but it seems like your opponent is pretty, her position on vaccinations are pretty strong. And I was just curious what your position is on that. We did a show on vaccines, and we were not popular with some people because of that. But
we had two shows on vaccines.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway, I'm just curious because I'd read something about her supporting, and I might be wrong, wish she was here to correct me if I am, about childcare, licensed childcare facilities, and maintaining or monitoring their vaccination levels. Do you have a position on this? Do you have a position on vaccines? Should they be mandatory or...
Or should they? That we did have, in all fairness, we had a guest here early on when we started the show who was for pro-choice, letting the individual parents choose if they want to give their child vaccines or not, not letting the state mandate. So if you have any opinions on anything regarding vaccines, according, you know, what Sherry mentioned and what I just said.
So I'm a mom of two. Obviously, vaccines work. So I am definitely for them. I don't want to force people to do things with their body. That is just me. But I do think a lot of what we're seeing, a lot of the pushback for vaccinations is coming from a space of people not being properly educated. And I would love to see a push to properly educate our citizens and kind of show them, educate them better and show them the pros of vaccinations. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to deny.
No, your answer is, yeah. I mean, that's pretty responsible, yeah. Answer.
Well, I would encourage Paige and our audience to look at our show, Vaccines. We had a pro-vax doctor and an anti-vax doctor on our show. It was very educational.
Show, despite
both sides of the coin. It was very interesting. So you might want to
listen to the conversation after that show.
Yeah,
I wished was out there
with Dr. Dirk.
Yes,
with Dr. Dirk.
I really do.
It was a great show, and you'll enjoy it because you have both perspectives from two MDs. So just
anyway.
To say, and then the wages portion that you mentioned, as far as minimum wages, or what would you like to do with that? You're in Austin, and that's a topic that you obviously want to cover.
I want to see kind of businesses be held in this space where. We've been talking about $15 an hour for so long, like it definitely needs to be raised. It's not that businesses and corporations can't afford to pay their workers living wages. They just don't want to. And I think a lot of it boils down to greed. So we're seeing a lot of the repercussions of that in our society, having to take on those things where people people are working and still on food stamps. You know, people are working but still need assistance with housing. So wanting to see people who work actually be paid enough money to survive, enough money to pay their rent, enough money to put food on their table. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing a lot of companies kind of skip out as far as you'll see them hire part-time workers so that they don't have to give them benefits, and they never give them a pathway to promotion, but they're benefiting from their work. And so I think it's just responsible if you have people that work for you to ensure that you're paying them enough to live.
So would you introduce a bill then for $15? Would it be higher than $15? What would you introduce if you could?
At minimum $15. I mean, that's
yeah, that seems to be the number going around, right?
That's
minimum. But Paige, let me ask you, because again, we did a show on minimum wage.
We did a show on minimum wage. You may want to hear that one
it's
too.
It's going to sound like I'm trying to plug the shows, but
plug
no.
Plug the show, Sherry. Plug the show.
No, I'm pulling the content from then, because when I did my homework then, I remembered I went and trolled a lot of our local businesses and tried to figure out what their minimum wage was. And a lot of them are already kind of at that point. Or just under. It's, I know the minimum wage is what, $7.25, or is it $7.50 now? I should remember.
It was higher than that.
I don't remember, which is embarrassing, but
embarrassing for us audience. Sorry.
Well, anyway, the reason I don't remember is because it's not relevant. Because when I, in my opinion, because when I was doing that research, none of the entities were even remotely close to like a seven number. I think the worst was like nine. Now you also you have your servers that'll be at like
tips.
Yeah. Well, we need to have a show on tips, by the way. And I've been saying that anyway. So if we set it at 15. I guess I'm asking, does that mean then we expect it to push higher, or is it a better number like 10 or 12?
Or will employers, you know, eliminate staff? Because yeah. I think that happened in some states. I think it was in Washington where a lot of people were laid off once they were forced, the restaurant industry mostly, to eliminate people.
I guess my question is, if you get in Austin and it's thrown to you, you know, as an option of not a $15 number, but maybe like a $10 number. Let's raise the seven whatever to, you know, a $9.50 or a $10.50. Is that something that you would consider, or is it just going to be a nope?
Well, first, I like to have something as opposed to nothing. That's me. So
I, like
I would
that
never.
Answer.
Yeah, I would never if I got met with 12 or 13, I would never say no. I'll take nothing. So if that was an option, yes, I'd take it because it's a start point. But I would really like to move the number at least towards 15. And yeah, I do think that we can anticipate seeing that number go up. And I do think that sometimes businesses might retaliate and say we're going to lay off staff. But I also don't want to do that thing where then we don't give people what they deserve for working, because now we're afraid of corporations retaliating.
Okay. Let's go into another just side issue. It was brought up to us that your opponent was on the legislature floor wearing a T-shirt. Is that is that okay with you, or do you think that to be a states person that you need to have a certain?
You know, I noodled on this myself because I'm kind of a T-shirt. Like, I get,
so you would wear a T-shirt on this on the state floor?
Because I noodled it out. I'm like, okay, because I know for our school board, the ladies are required to wear jackets. And in today's kind of like style, like, I just think our own school board should kind of reanalyze that requirement. But at the same time,
we had casual days.
It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is as someone who, you know, isn't dressed up all the time, I don't think it's ideal to start going backwards to a T-shirt. But at the same time, men wear ties and jackets. It's not as easy for a female.
Well, I was just asking Paige if she thought that was, you know, okay. Maybe you think, Lord, it's okay.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. I will say that I don't wear T-shirts. I wouldn't do it, but I'm an African American woman, and I'm going to be real. You know, for me, I don't wear T-shirts. I don't wear sweats, you know, because perception, and also being prior military, we always talk that perception is everything.
Right.
It's
true.
So for me, you know, when I'm knocking on people's doors, my team laughs at me because they're like,
you wearing
don't
heels?
Look like the rest of us when we block walk. But it's about presentation. And when I knock on people's doors, I want them to trust me with their vote. And so,
and aren't you trying to sway eventually, if you win the Democratic primary, the Republicans or independents, that you have almost 50% Republicans in your jurisdiction? That so I would think that you'd want to present, at least to try and get reelected if you're elected the first time, that people wouldn't like, for example, that I would know about her wearing a T-shirt on the legislature floor. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out. I was more
look,
of a
look, our educators aren't allowed to do that. No, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have an opinion. But
wow. You're not supposed to have an opinion on the show.
You know, that's you said when we started my interesting. What did you call it?
Forget it. So I'll bring up another topic. Legalization of recreational marijuana. What's your position on that? Because that's being, you know, more and more states are adopting. I think Illinois just passed it, right?
There's a lot. And there's, yeah.
So what's your position on that?
So I'm on board with that. I think it could be a huge source of funding for education. I've been talking to people who kind of specialize in hemp. I've talked to our local police chief about some of the struggles that they have with it, just trying to get more educated on it. But yeah, I'm on board for legalization of marijuana.
So you think it'll help the economy and, you know,
I think it will be a big boost to economy, you know, especially when we're talking about looking for money for healthcare and for education.
So is that where you would use those?
I would, and mandate at least 75% of the profits go to education.
So 75% of the profits from the company selling it?
From the legalization, whatever profit, whatever taxation.
The taxes that are derived from it.
Well, okay. I mean, it's a non-existing revenue right now.
Are you going to plug the show?
No.
The legalization of marijuana show we had?
We had CBD and marijuana.
See, you got to see all our, hear all our shows. We have a lot of shows.
Our show.
Before the election season, we did Hot Topics. So we did all these topics. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay, I'll have to definitely check them out.
So what's your position, which we had a show on? What's your position on term limits? Do you think there should be term limits or no term limits? What do you think?
I'm for term limits. Yeah, I'm for term limits because I think a lot of times when you get into the space of politics, people think that once someone has won a seat, they really deserve to just keep that seat forever. And I don't think that. I think that every term you need to earn your seat, and also you don't need to stay there till you die.
Like, right, no more career politician. Yes. So would you say, how many terms would you say, you know, would you stay in Austin? I know I'm not holding it to an audience. She could change her mind. I'm just asking her. She's not elected yet. If you did get elected, how many terms would you stay?
I think at most maybe 3. Okay. And really,
I think 3
that,
is healthy.
Yeah, really hoping that someone wonderful comes along to replace me.
Good for you, new blood.
Oh, get that's someone. A great answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we should.
Till someone better
for.
Brings
yes.
it.
Someone yes. comes.
Okay, and then you know, you can interrupt with some of your comments too.
But I have been commenting, but I do have one. I was going to wait till after our commercial.
Okay, let's do that. So then let's talk about gun control. What's your position on gun control in the state of Texas?
I'm for red flag laws, and I'm not for martial law, so I don't want to see our teachers armed. I think that, you know, a lot of people, when you talk about gun laws, like, people freak out, like, you're going to take my weapon. That's not true. I don't want to take your weapon, but I do want to see us just have common sense gun laws in place. For instance, when we're talking about people who have committed violent crimes, making them surrender their weapons. Maybe when people kind of come up on the radar as, you know, not being stable, maybe we should go and make them surrender their weapons. When we're talking about arming our teachers, let's look at other safety protocols first. For instance, at my son's school, one of the things they've done is they've put in ballistic glass. They put in an answering system on the outside.
Ring.
Yeah, so they have to ring it and they show their ID and then they allow that person to come in. So I just think, you know, it's one of those things where, like my grandmother used to say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we can just start implementing common sense laws, I think that we'll be much better off than what we are now.
How's it going on the campaign trail? Do you feel like you're gaining traction? Is there something
kind of feel are you getting from the incumbent, like the people that will be voting Democrat? And what's the feel for the incumbent? Are they, like, you know, happy with how things are?
Well, I think that what we experienced last cycle was a lot of straight ticket voting.
Well, you know, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
It's gone.
So what we're finding is really just a lack of commitment, because a lot of people went in and just did a straight ticket vote. So there was no commitment other than, hey, we just want to win the seat or win the positions. So when we're talking to voters, they're very much open to the idea of there's a better choice, picking the better choice, or picking someone they feel represents them better.
And also, I was curious, because I had mentioned this on another recording, So the person that was in that seat prior to your opponent, he was the author of what's been nicknamed the bathroom bill. And so I'm curious, do you think that maybe the reason your opponent may have had kind of a leg up is because of, do you think it's because people were dissatisfied with that the particular Republican Party during the time, or do you think the bathroom bill actually had a role in some of that?
I think it helped, you know, because just kind of being around my opponent just a little bit, you know, she would never really speak about her stances on things or talk about what really made her a great candidate. It would be more like, well, that guy wrote the bathroom bill. And so people, you know, it's one of those situations where, what do they say? Well, at least that's not the bathroom bill person, so I'll take this person. Or kind of wanting to maybe a little bit of social justice, get rid of that person. But I think that that's not good enough for the people in the district. You know, it really has to be, well, what are you going to do for us? I mean, that's what I'm really hearing when I'm knocking on doors. What are you going to do for us? How are you going to serve us? How are you going to fight for us? You know, the things that we're lacking in district, how are you going to correct that and make that better? Tell us about you. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do with our campaign is to give people something to vote for as opposed to having something to vote against.
So what would you, I mean, you're almost up to early voting, right? Next week is early voting. Is there anything that you regret not doing up to this point that you're starting to do now, but you wish you started earlier?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
I can honestly say no.
Come on, girl. She just said it.
Yeah. Because we've always been the underdogs in this thing, and we kind of hit the ground running. Right. And we knew we weren't going to raise a lot of money. And so we always just put the people first. And we've been just connecting. And really kind of, you know, you asked about traction, seeing that kind of pay off for us right now, because people have really liked the fact that the candidate is at their door. The candidate is showing up to, we try honestly to show up to absolutely everything. And we found a lot of times we would show up and our opponent hadn't. You know, one of our strategies had been to draw the contrast between the two of us. Well, it was very rare that the two of us would ever be in the same space. So we've just made sure, you know, we've built relationships with the community, you know, talking to the leaders, talking to chief of police, going to sit with coffee talks with the county commissioner, just building those relationships and getting out and really speaking to people. So I can't say that I have any regrets, because we've worked. Like, when I leave here, I'm going back to work. I'm going back to make phone calls and knock on doors.
And your opponent, I mean, is she showing up at these forums with you, or you're solo at those as well?
I'm solo at those. The education forum was the first one.
She doesn't show up to any forums.
Wait, like none?
The education forum was the first one that she showed up to, and I think that might have been because I know the Republican opponents were there as well. But we've been invited to a few things, and it's kind of just been me.
You've never had like a conversation or debate or discussion with your opponent?
Nope.
Wow, Sherry, that's crazy.
She came to the Dallas Morning News.
I'm trying not to say much.
Were you endorsed by the Dallas Morning News?
No.
Nope.
But I think that they have an incumbent policy. But they said nice things about us, but that was as much as we got. But that's the only two times.
And I'm not trying, you know me, I don't disparage anybody on this show, but for an incumbent.
I'm surprised to hear. That's weird.
I mean, she just thinks she's got it probably, and she's just sitting back. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, even in our local Frisco politics, even the incumbents here, they take it really seriously, right?
Well, but she's a Democrat incumbent. So, but for me, I'm all about honoring and being loyal to the process.
Right, exactly.
Like,
wow.
I'm going to be quiet.
We're going to take a break on that. No, we're not leaving, Paige, so you can't let your hair down, because we're still on camera and still on audio. We do our sponsorships live. So the show is sponsored by, we have three great sponsors, Paige. The first sponsor is our premier sponsor. We have to say that because he's been with us, they've been with us since day one, Elevated Roofing. And I know they go into Louisville. They do a lot of work in Louisville, by the way, Sherry.
That's nice.
Elevated Roofing is the premier roofing company in North Texas. And, you know, you could tell a company by the way their crews are and their vehicles. That's what I always look at.
And their clients.
Yeah, exactly.
But, not just you.
Oh, sorry. But, like, they're... their vehicles are spotless. I mean, they're just shiny, and their workers are professionally dressed and just professional in everything they do. And the tremendous company, they just don't come to your house when there's a hail damage. They actually are mostly on referral. So I had hail damage, Paige. I know you're upset about that. But and I didn't know these people were knocking on my door. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to wait, because they were doing all the houses down the street. Awful. And I'm like, I'll wait. And then someone said, hey, you should call Elevated Roofing. And I met Kenny Gammons, and he came down and really helped me through the whole process, from meeting with my adjuster. And just the whole thing went so smooth, and they did things that I didn't even expect. And our audience, I know you guys are nauseated by my talking of Elevated Roofing, but they actually come with these giant magnets at the end.
I was
going
to say, you haven't mentioned the magnets in the last couple of shows. You know it's my favorite.
Yeah. They come with giant magnets, and they clean up all the nails that are all over your lawn and everything. It's crazy. And then they were painting and fixing things I didn't even know they were doing. They do my gutters, and we gave them a color, but then we changed our mind and like, no problem. And they came back with new colors. It was just, the service is incredible. So if anybody needs to do their roof, gutters, or painting, they do painting too, contact Elevated Roofing, 469-200-0582. That's 469-200-0582. And I know that my co-host wants to talk about Bell and Sparrows.
I do. I love it. It's a nonprofit faith-based charities to ladies. It's woman founded, and they work with women. They reach out to women that are suffering from previous incarceration, drug addiction, abuse, and they just take these ladies and they invest in them emotionally and physically. They teach them trades to help take care of themselves and go out back into society and be successful. They have their annual golf tournament coming up. It's called Birdies for Bells. It will be on April 28th.
Birdies for Bells.
April 28th. And my husband's a golfer. So guys, this is a great charity. And the fees for this is $150 per player or $500 per four-person team. And it's all the fun stuff that comes with the charity tournament. And it's in the afternoon for if you have to work a half day. So it's going to be at Canyon Creek Country Club, and I just think you guys should check it out. And
their sponsorship is paid by an anonymous donor, so it does not come out of their funds from the organization. So an anonymous donor gives us the money to talk about them, a great, great organization for empowering women. And you can hear or listen to them or find out more information at bellandsparrows.org.
Or on Facebook.
Facebook.
Love the Facebook.
Yeah, Bell and Sparrows on Facebook's a pretty cool site. And our last sponsor, gentlemen, ladies, today is February 13th. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And our last sponsor, Brace Humanity, makes these amazing
Friday
bracelets.
Is Valentine's Day.
I know we're broadcasting on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on. Shh.
Okay.
Nobody knows we're taping. Oh, they do now. So today's the 13th. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. You still have a chance to buy your lovely lady or your great man a nice bracelet made out of Napa leather or stingray leather or a nice yacht rope by going to bracehumanity.com. And if you put common in the promo box after your purchase, you'll get 25% off just by listening to our show. And they said to us, if you place this order today, the 13th, they will overnight it to have at your house. Or place of living, if you live in an apartment.
Nice, for Valentine's Day.
They will send it to you overnight, and you can present it to your sweetie.
Nice.
So, bracehumanity.com, please check it out. We are back with our guest, Paige Dixon, who's running in HD65, the Democratic primary, with her opponent. Oh, yeah, she's not here. the sitting incumbent did not come on the show. And she was asked many times, as well as her campaign manager. We do have the documentation. We keep that because we want to be fair and give everybody an opportunity. And she didn't think it was important enough to come on the show. And we appreciate Paige for you coming on the show and telling our audience, hopefully your constituents, what you're running about. And we're going to go back to some of those topics. So did you want to mention
topic? I do. I have a couple of things. One, on January 6th, your opponent posted that, let me read it so I don't get it wrong. Denton County Republicans are actively supporting my challengers. Now, I read this because someone had questioned this, and if they were implying that that Republicans are working with you.
What are you doing, Paige?
Now, she's not here for me to ask her directly, but what I found frustrating is there was no technical correction to this. I mean, it's not hard to edit a Facebook post. And I find it frustrating because there are two Republicans that are running in the primary also. So I'm just curious what you might have to say about this.
That kind of made me giggle. It made me giggle. Someone sent it to me the night it was posted. And I remember responding, someone's helping her other than her Republican opponents. We're not. But, you know, I think maybe that's the thing sometimes, especially local, for people to say, oh, the Republicans are helping her.
It's not the first time I've heard it this season.
Me either. So, no.
I mean, we also just recently heard in local politics how somebody created multiple Facebook sites. Fake sites.
That isn't all. I mean, the garbage is...
It's crazy.
But I have this expression that I just say back, whatever.
I could tell you, audience, we've talked to Paige for some time, and there's no way she's helping out any Republican candidate. She's concentrating on her own campaign. That's what she needs to worry about. So hopefully
I have another little situation I'd like to get a little response from Miss Dixon, because I found this trolling Facebook. There's this person that took a contribution from you and then donated to your opponent's campaign.
You're going to ask all the questions.
We don't kid around.
And you don't have to answer because technically this isn't your mess. Right. I just want to give you opportunity to speak on it because...
In case it's out there.
Well, the other issue, I wanted you to be able to respond because...
Would you want to do one at a time or you want to put them together?
She already answered the one about the Republicans working with the Republicans. I find that never mind. My opinion doesn't matter. So, I'm sorry. Do you not want to answer that?
She has to answer it now. Maybe she doesn't want to answer that.
Is that just something that each person has their own ability to do what they want? Just because money came in one way and it goes out another doesn't...
But you hear about that all the time.
Yeah, I try to be supportive of candidates that I really... You know, I am a Democrat and I want to see progressive candidates that I believe in get elected. And I don't have very much, but I just try to give what I can give.
I think that's a great answer.
But I'm not responsible. Guess what people do with their own money, right? Yeah.
No, I think that's actually a great answer because you gave the money without condition. Mm-hmm. So...
Do you have anything else you want to add to that? Or
No, I mean, I could ask the questions, you know, redistricting, census.
We're going to do that, right? So let's get into some of that other stuff. The immigration policy for the state of Texas, obviously they've done their own type of immigration. So what's your stance on immigration?
I think that diversity really does make us better. I feel like if people are coming here seeking asylum, we should welcome them with open arms. I don't know a person who wouldn't do anything that they could possibly do to get their children to a better place, a safer place, give themselves and their children a better life. So, I mean, that's just human nature, and I think it's awful to put people in bondage or to send people back to conditions where they could lose their lives. I mean, so that's what my stance is.
So should the regulations be loosened to allow people in, or would you eliminate most of the regulations? What would you do? So you're in Austin, and you know, they say, hey, what do you think, Paige? What should we do about, you know, securing the borders? You're like, open borders is good for me. I'm not trying to put words in
your head. No. Well, I don't think that I lived in El Paso for 4 years. I don't think that our borders are not secure. You know, they'd say El Paso is the third safest city in the country. And I didn't go to bed at night wondering if someone was going to come across the border to kill me. I did feel legitimately safe. So I don't think that we have an issue there. I do think we have an issue with compassion. I think that that's where we are right now. You know, people are coming here for a reason. People are seeking refuge and asylum for a reason. And I do think that we need to be more compassionate when we are addressing those issues and when we are seeing people come to America seeking safety and help.
So then what is your position on the trafficking issue that our state, or actually I guess whole country, is experiencing?
It's and pretty I'm not high saying, in Texas.
It is. And I'm not saying immigrants are to blame for trafficking. Please don't assume that. But I know that that product has become more valuable in Mexico than some of the cartels. The cartels are trading and trafficking more right. so than drugs. So do you think the border control has any play in that? Or do you think that's something else? What would be your solution to that situation?
Again, I would say that I really think that our border patrol, I think they're doing a good job. You know, I think that a lot of times, sometimes things get really blown up. And I'm just really speaking from my experience as having lived in El Paso in a border city. I don't think that we should see that translate, concern for that translate into not having compassion for families that are seeking asylum.
Okay. That's fair. Were you in El Paso? Was that when you were in the military, or
I was stationed at Fort Bliss for 4 years.
Right, that's an amazing complex. I've been there many times.
I was wondering that kind of like came from.
Just from the old.
Let's talk about Fort Bliss. Let's talk about Fort Bliss. Okay.
Let's talk about Fort Bliss. Let's talk about Proposition 4. Were you in favor of that, or would you have voted against it? As a constitutional amendment.
I know.
I'm giving you the good ones.
Look,
come
just because you said you'd come didn't mean we were going
to
be.
Listen,
nice
by the way,
easy.
We asked the Republicans the same questions.
Now, I voted for Proposition 4 because I felt like it could be an avenue, potential avenue to fund education. So
you would, you obviously voted for it. So you would have voted for it as a legislator as well.
I would have.
Okay.
All right. Because it was just giving us the potential to, in the future, have a thing. And so I think it would have been a great avenue for funding education. And so I said, yeah.
So we read the Dallas Morning News on March 4th, and it says Dixon wins Democratic primary. And then you go on to win in the general election. And now all these lobbyists start calling on you and saying, hey, Ms. Dixon, you know, we want you to win next time, too. So we could donate X amount of money, you know, hey, take care of us on this or look after. What are you going to do about that? That's a lot of pressure.
Is it, though?
I don't know. Look, nobody's giving me the money, so
man,
I don't know.
No one's giving me the money either.
Not
here
yet.
We are. So,
because you're the, the underdog.
And I'm incredibly proud of that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We've taken no money from corporate PACs. We have ran a grassroots campaign. I'm so proud of that. And I would love to continue to do that as long as I possibly could, wherever this takes me. I love the fact that, you know, people have given me their coffee money. People have worked babysitter jobs and given me the money from the babysitter jobs.
She's making me feel bad.
Well, no, my parents.
All right, I'll give you money.
They're blue collar workers. My mom's a cafeteria worker. My dad's a farm worker, and they've sent checks to my campaign. And so for me, I never want to compromise my morals or my values. And so we anything that anyone would want to give us, we'd have to definitely scrutinize that. And it would just be a contribution. I don't want to be anyone's pocket.
Yeah, I read actually, I think I'm about 99.9% sure that the incumbent, when she ran against the previous person sitting in the seat, the amount of money that he raised was obnoxiously high compared to hers. It was like,
but isn't she getting a lot of corporate donations now?
I don't remember. Yeah. I should know.
I think some come corporate, and then I know about a third of her donations have come from the establishment.
Well, and I mean, I get it. She's the incumbent, Democrat incumbent.
Doesn't mean she has to take it.
I just said, I get it. I don't know that I necessarily agree right. with it. But
that's the whole point of the question, because once you right. get in there, you know,
well,
people give you $1,000, you're like,
$1,000. Another thing I like about our district is it doesn't seem to be for sale. It seems to be because we've got pennies in the bank compared to the incumbent. And we are still, I walked to a few doors and people knew who I was.
Wow.
So, you know, the wonderful thing about 65 is it doesn't appear to be for sale. If you put in the work, the people will respond to that.
Okay.
It's good to know.
Let's talk about gerrymandering or redistricting. What's your opinion on that? How should the state handle it? It's going to happen after the census. So you're sitting there. What would your recommendations be?
So I'm not for gerrymandering. Shocker. I don't like to see people draw their own districts and step into them and run. I really love democracy, and I think that we should do absolutely everything to preserve it, which is one of the reasons I'm running. I believe that people should have choice, and that choice should be fair. So I want to see people equally represented throughout all the districts. I don't want people to kind of pick off their voters, draw their own districts, and be able to step in them and run, regardless of what side of the aisle they're on.
So bipartisan type of committee and decide fair lines.
Yes.
You have any comments on that, Ms.
No,
Sims?
Everybody answers it the same way, so I can't wait till redistricting starts happening.
Yeah, come on. Because usually those
are
in power.
You better stick to it, Paige.
Yeah, the Republicans are in power, and they're drawing the
everybody,
lines.
Everybody, anybody, I'm going to go pull the footage. I'm going to be like, look.
Like, you said it right there. What happened? So let's then move on to the criminal justice system. You had mentioned that briefly. I think you mentioned social justice, but let's go into criminal justice. Would you make any modifications to any of the, or try and make any modifications to any laws that are state run?
Oh, yes. So.
Are you glad I brought this one up?
I know. She's good.
Well,
needs like another.
I'm just saying, I want to see for-profit prisons go away. Because I think as long as we have for-profit prisons, we see people kind of feel like they have a mandate to fill them. I want to see equal representation throughout our justice department.
As far as how? Let me just clarify that.
Well, we're seeing that people who are black and brown typically get harder sentences for the same crimes. So I want to see reform in that aspect. Bail reform. People kind of being taken advantage of, what they barely have any money at all. So I want to see things like that kind of, you know, happen in our justice system.
Oh, that's interesting. So right now you've done an analysis and there are different sentences for minorities compared to.
Yes. Yes.
And bail too. Yeah. Bail's a big topic.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not. I guess I'm one of those white privileged guys.
You said that.
I know, I had to.
I didn't say it.
I let it in. It's a fun show. And then one of the last things I want to mention, I know Sherry might have some more, is just some comments about the sitting incumbent and, you know, what you would do initially. You mentioned those three topics that you do, but what initially would your office look like? I know you're going to be more responsive and you may say that, but is there anything else that you can add to it, to how you're going to be different than the sitting incumbent?
Well, I think you have to build relationships regardless of if people are on your side of the aisle or not. You know, one of the things that we've been getting back about my opponent is that those relationships are not happening. I think she even sent out one of her flyers that I wanted to do this, but the Republicans stopped me. And people aren't very responsive to that because at the end of the day, they're sending you to Austin. And they need to know that regardless of if the House flips or not, that you can produce something. Because if you can only produce a thing when you're surrounded by other Democrats, then there's no point to send you back down to Austin. So you have to be able to build relationships with people who may not think as you do, believe as you do, but you know, I have a lot of friends that actually contribute to my campaign who are conservative, and they say, I know you're a flaming liberal, but I also trust you. You have common sense. I've talked to voters that they disagree with some of the things on my platform, but they've agreed to vote for me because they say, I trust you. I trust your leadership. And you have to be able to have relationship with people and sit down and talk to them, because if you can develop trust, I think that that's such a key part to moving the needle on the things that we want to see change.
Well, why do you think that your opponent feels so confident then that, you know, she doesn't have to show up at these forums or debates and, you know, really go out? That is she like living in some false reality, or she's got a lot of people that are supporting her just from the last time?
You know, I can't really speak to that. But whatever is happening, I'm glad, you know, I mean, it's a good space for me,
right?
Because I just continue the work and people have been seeing the work. And we've been getting great feedback about that from all over the place, that people are seeing you work for the people in your district. And so that's kind of what I just focus on. Through this whole race, I don't go on her Facebook. I don't look
Smart.
At her social media. I literally have just been focusing on what we're trying to do here for the people in the district.
I'm curious about the LGBT community. Is her camp getting a lot of love from there? Is there any kind of commitment? Because I feel like when I was researching both of you, it wasn't like a waving flag in front of my face. And I feel like being Democrats, that that would be something that I would expect. So do you have any content or info on that or no?
I know that there are some LGBTQ activists in our district that are supporting our campaign for 65. I know that on my literature, I make it very apparent.
Yeah, you do. That's your face. I mean, your website.
I mean, people know what you're really about. And I think that's really good. Transparency is.
She did author some legislature in Austin. So I don't want to act like there wasn't anything. But I was just curious because I'd like to know what those activists in HD 65 are doing and saying. So you're saying there are some that have committed to Paige Dixon. That's good to know.
That's awesome. And I'd like to touch upon the mental health bill that was passed. What's your position on that? Did they do a good job? They didn't go far enough. They didn't do a good job.
As far as mental health is concerned, I think it's always great to have it's great that they have a starting point, but I do think that there's always more work to be done. I think that we have to really start helping people who struggle with mental illness and being compassionate. You know, we had an incident here in Denton County where a young man was killed and he was kind of showing all the signs of having a head trauma. But we're struggling to figure out how do we respond to these situations. We had a veteran that actually was shot. I think the VA, I forgot which one. Who we're pretty sure was struggling with mental illness. So basically just getting to those spaces and making sure that we're properly training people that respond to those situations. And so folks come out alive. And then we're also getting people the care that they need to be able to live quality lives.
Okay. Has the party shown you any favoritism or her any favoritism in this campaign, or are they staying pretty much out of it?
I was gonna say a third of her donations came from the establishment.
Sorry, I didn't know that part of the establishment.
Get him, Paige.
Yeah, I mean,
the Denton County Democrat Club or the statewide.
So this is statewide. So locally,
okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah, locally, I will say that they've done a very good job at trying to stay neutral, at least to the best of my knowledge. And I think the establishment does this thing where they just want to huddle around their seat. They want to save their seat. And my thing is, you can have your Democrat that raises her hand on your big issues, but also allow the people in my district to have a representative that cares for them.
So I have another question. She has an endorsement from Texas Coalition of Black Democrats. Were you interviewed for that endorsement?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that from this year, though?
You sure it's this year? Come on, Sherry. Yeah. Come on.
It's probably from last year because
it's... Well, then why is it on her wall or her website? Hold on. Look.
No, we believe you. Don't have to go.
It says re-elect Michelle Beckley, state representative. It says endorsements. It is not dated. Does not have a year in it. It's sitting right in front of my face. And that.
So as far as you know, it was an endorsement from the first campaign she had. Okay. Have you talked to that group at all?
I do. I actually know the president of the Texas Coalition of
Democrats. I would suggest that they put something out and say, you know, this is not current endorsement. I mean, it's really, if it's not true, then it should be taken off her site.
I'm just going to be real quiet right now.
No, don't. You can't help yourself.
No, because like my body, I'm like.
She gets very upset with stuff like this.
Well, hello.
So there she goes.
Coalition of Black Democrats.
What are you trying to say?
It's right here. Like, I should have been able to say, did you interview for that? And her say, yes.
Yeah,
there should be
some sort of explanation.
Okay, right. You told me to go ahead.
You do it. Do you have anything else before we wrap up?
No, now I want to know about the rest of the endorsements.
Okay, ask away.
I don't need to. Paige needs to.
Paige, are all the endorsements, as far as you know, that she has, are those current or you don't know from
She
at
said
all?
She doesn't go on her website, which is a good approach. I'm She's sorry. Doing her own thing, right. But maybe you should.
I think you need to talk to that group. But anyway, so this has been a very good discussion. And thank you so much again, Paige Dixon, for coming on the show. We'll give you a minute or so to just wrap up. Tell us a little about your campaign and where people can get more information about you.
So again, my name is Paige Dixon. I'm running for Texas State Representative in House District 65. You can get more information about me at pagefortexas.com. Also, you can donate there and sign up to volunteer. We're running this campaign. It's grassroots, and we're running it for the people in the district so that we can have the representation that we deserve.
What was that website again?
It's page4texas.com.
And that's where they can make contributions?
Contributions, read about my platform positions, and also volunteer.
Well, Sherry, I guess that wraps up another episode of Common Ground. It was a really good one. Again, people, election starts next week on the 17th for the primaries, and Paige is running for HD 65 Democratic primary. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Have a great day. Take care. God bless.